Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mike McCarthy will stop by for his weekly appearance at 6:30 this morning. Special Monday appearance from Coach here on Sean and RJ. Got Troy Hughes back running things. Entire morning crew back together again. Hopefully you had a fantastic break. Thank you for starting off your week with us on your home of America's team, where we have some issues. Mike McCarthy said Terrence Steele, offensive line coach Joe Philbin, the assistant O-line coach, and another offensive coaching assistant are all on the COVID list. None of them are going to be available Thursday at New Orleans. So Terrence Steele is out for this game. What the hell are the Cowboys doing with their offensive line? They start Terrence Steele. They rotate Connor Williams. Where are we going with this offensive line Thursday against the Raiders? Because now we presume Leo Collins is going to be back there at right tackle because Terrence Steele is out. They're rotating offensive linemen.
It's all over the place. It's really all over the place. Like from week to week, you don't even know where anybody's going to be. It's
from series to series.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that's even more true. It's like they're like trying to pull the old Florida Gators, rotate quarterbacks every series, every down.
Six different offensive line arrangements through 11 games this year. Now, a lot of that has to do with Tyron Lael suspensions, but six different offensive line arrangements. All Mike McCarthy does is preach continuity up front, and now we're back to not having Lael Collins starting last week. What is going on there?
I don't know. Are these performance based? Are they not personality based, but I don't say punishment based, but you get what I'm saying. What's going on?
Well, there are a lot of people who someone called me yesterday and said, we haven't talked about this enough, how bad Leo was against Kansas City. So we were focusing on a lot of other things against the Chiefs, but apparently there are people within the building who think that he was really bad against the Chiefs. So go ahead and put Terrence Steele back out there at right tackle. But then why are you rotating three possessions in? This isn't your running back rotation where Tony Pollard is going to get snaps for Zeke Elliott every third drive into a brand new football game. You're starting different linemen and then you're rotating them, including Connor Williams as well. What?
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Then you factor in if you're going to take a game that a player played, Lael's only in a couple games back. So you're going to look at the game against Kansas City and say, you're bad in that game, so we're going to bench you. Wait a second. So that's the precedent we're setting now? It's game to game on how I play. Nobody's allowed to have a bad game anymore, and you lose your starting job. That's the precedent you're setting. That's a really, really weird precedent to set that you have, that you will lose your starting job for a day or whatever because you had a bad game.
When I heard Steele was starting against the Raiders, I was like, what? What is going on? I think it kind of got lost a little bit because you didn't have Amari. CeeDee got cleared in the concussion protocol, but they had talked about it. And if he had suffered another concussion or an injury upstairs, he was going to be out for longer. So I think all those things kind of overshadowed what was happening up front with the shuffling of the offensive line. So now Terrence Steele is on the COVID list. So we'll ask Mike McCarthy, is it going to be Leo Collins back there at right tackle? Is Zeke Elliott even going to be on the field? because McCarthy said he is very concerned about Zeke's health. Zeke yesterday told reporters, no one has come to me. Right now I'm not planning on sitting out, but I will do whatever helps the team. So McCarthy said he's a warrior. He's fighting to get back, but we need to evaluate. So they're worried that Zeke is just a little bit too banged up right now. Had 9 carries for 25 yards and 6 catches for 24 in the Raider game. That's fine. Sit him down and let Tony Pollard's burst get those touches and give Zeke some time off. I'm cool with that if that's where they decide to go.
Totally cool with it. I don't need to see him out there getting 9 carries. I don't need to see that. Let him rest. Let him you know, get his whatever he wants to call it, because that looked like an ankle injury to me. I looked like an ankle to me. I know they're saying knee. I looked like an ankle to me. So whatever they're calling it, let's get a rest. Let's get it healthy.
And
again,
Pollard might be, you know, the better ball carrier anyway.
I mean, look, Zeke's getting up there in age. It just is. That's what happens to running backs. When you get to over 1,000 carries, 1,500 carries even, you start to decline. It's just normal.
A lot of Tolos blame Greg Zuerlein for this loss. You got the referees, you got your own play, and then the kicker. This is from RJ Ochoa. Greg Zuerlein has played in 26 games for the Cowboys. He's missed a kick of some kind at least once in 12 of them. That's 46% of the time he's missing at least an extra point or a field goal. He's almost good for a miss of some sort in every other game. Stephen Jones came on The Fan and said, we're not considering a change. We feel really good about him. We have the utmost confidence. Yeah, including putting him out there for 59-yard attempts after a missed extra point. So that's where they stand right now with the kicking situation. Scary.
It's very scary. Now, like, you know, they're going to, whoever they would put in there would be just as bad as Zuerlein in general. Or as, you know, they're all about the same. You get your great kickers and your really bad kickers, and then everybody else is in the middle. And they all make about 85%. You know, somewhere between 83 to 86% that they all about make. It's just, you know, and you can't figure out when they're going to happen, or, you know, when they're going to miss them. But missing extra points is like, I know they've moved it back. It's still like a, come on, man. You know, it's 37 yards. Come on. Like, that's a chip shot in 2021.
And then Mike McCarthy has spoken with the league, and he was planning on talking with them again about the penalties, the 28 accepted penalties between the two teams, the most in a game since 2016. Jerry Jones called it throw-up ball. I call it Eli Manning football. Just toss it up and get the penalties to get you the big plays. Props to the Raiders, Jerry said. The box score shows you 3 of 13 on third down. It doesn't tell you it was really 8 of 18 with the 5 they converted due to penalties, all of Anthony Brown's coming on third down.
Yeah, they were killers. Just absolute killers. You're not going to win games like that. When you're extended drives, this is the equivalent of making, coughing up the football on offense or making a ton of errors in a baseball game or whatever, you know. There's no reason to be that aggressive at certain times.
And you homers, I got like 3 of them over the weekend.
Yeah, no.
Oh, Anthony Brown hasn't committed a PI since I don't know when, and now all of a sudden he got 4. I went back even yesterday and watched them. You could make an argument that all of them deserved a call. And the Raiders got calls on them too.
It was a sloppy game. I mean, this crew calls penalties left and right.
Yeah, this Ed Hockley's kid that people are going after out there, convinced that we want to watch them on a nationally televised. You know how big of a rating this game got? This game was the most watched regular season game since 1990. 38.5 million people, and there are people convinced that referees are like, oh, this is a stage. And this is a stage that I can be on. We see it in Major League Baseball all the time. I mean, the movement call on the Raiders center, that was an absolute joke.
Terrible call.
There was calls on both sides, but the Cowboys are not happy about the officiating, and neither is the fan base. I put out the poll question, what are you blaming for the Raider loss? The team, the refs, a combo of both. 3,000 people voted, 61% saying a combo. 23 and change saying the team, 15% saying the refs.
I mean, look, the refs were bad. They're bad all around. Like, you knew, though, going in. You knew this referee crew caused a lot of... Why are you in man-to-man on that third date team? What are you doing there anyway? Like a Pop Warner coach knows that you're not shouldn't be in man-to-man in that situation. What are you doing? It's just, you know, you were going to... You put yourself in a position to get a penalty there. An easier position to get a penalty. I don't know. Like, I just... Yes, the refs were bad. The refs are not the reason the Cowboys lost this football game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
In motion, Devontae to the left, Rodgers in the shotgun, Dillon to his right. Give Dillon, and why not? Fake to Dillon, rolling right, Rodgers to the end zone, touchdown, bad foot and all. Aaron Rodgers with a beautiful play fake.
So much for the COVID toe as Aaron Rodgers was battling with the media again. That was the call on Packers Radio. It's Sean and RJ back together again here on your home of America's team. As Troy said, Mike McCarthy live at 6:30 this morning to talk about all the problems with America's team. But where do they stand now in the NFC and the NFC East? Well, to me right now, it's Green Bay, Arizona, and everyone else in the conference. I am worried about the Packers. Where, and I think this is a topic probably for tomorrow. We got a shorter week with Cowboys Saints on Thursday. But how have and where have you changed your mind about the Cowboys the most? The biggest overall change that I've had is bumping them down a tier in terms of being a contender. Now, look, the difficult thing to do is separating how much of this is injury and how much of this is not playing well versus the third option, overhyping and overrating them earlier in the year. I had them as a top two or three team in football, period, throughout much of the first half of the season. That has obviously changed. The difficult part is assessing how much it has to do with the absences of your receivers, of your defensive ends, of COVID, of concussions, of all this different stuff, and figuring out how flawed you are. And that's the difficulty of where we are with the Cowboys right now. But Green Bay, yesterday, they pretty much handled the Rams. The Rams are struggling and reeling like we are. Yeah. Matt Stafford is throwing interceptions. I still haven't seen a highlight or a play from Von Miller with all that hype over there. And we're 7-4. They're 7-4. Arizona's the one seed at 9-2. Green Bay's the two seed at 9-3. The Bucs came back yesterday to beat the Colts Thank you, Indianapolis, for screwing up another second half lead. So they're the three, we're the four, and the Rams are the five right now.
Yeah, and as the Action Network pointed out, the Rams are 0-3 since their "Pay that man his money" all-in tweet that they had when they went, we said we're all in. The KGB tweet from Rounders. They're 0-3 since that tweet. And they're stumbling big time. And Sean McVay is looking for that scapegoat. You can see it yesterday when Stafford threw a pass out of bounds. You know, he's biting into that little stupid play chart he has where he thinks he invented all those plays. And you know, he's looking for that Stafford scapegoat. It's just like he's going to kick Stafford to the curb just like he did Goff.
Stafford with a pick six in his third straight game. That basically ended it. That made it 36-17. Yeah. So a pick six in three straight. Odell had a 50-yard touchdown.
And then what is McVay doing at the end of the game there? You're down by 11, and he lets like 30 seconds. They run it. They run it.
That was criminal.
Clock it and kick the field goal if you wanted to do that.
Mike McCarthy thought that was horrible game management.
Yeah, but you know, McVay can do no wrong. So the media's just going to blame Stafford now. I swear to God, this guy.
Meanwhile, Tampa Bay would have liked to gone ahead and got this loss here because they have the head to head over us. The LSU Tigers said, nope.
Here's the snap. Brady hands the ball off, running to the left. Is Fournette inside the 25. Stiff arm to the 20. On his feet to the 15, 10. 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Leonard Fournette. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Whoa, is that the dagger? I hope so, with 20 seconds left.
Fire the KG dagger. Was that the dagger? I hope so. Well, Buck caught ball.
Bucks radio with the call. Leonard Fournette scores four touchdowns, and the Buccaneers come back to beat Indianapolis. Carson Wentz was balling out in this game. Three touchdowns in the first half for Wentz. Then Frank Reich said, you know what? The hottest player in the sport, maybe the best running back in all of football, Let's not give it to him. Let's forget about him. 16 straight pass plays. 16 straight pass plays from Frank Reich. And Jonathan Taylor doesn't touch it until a touchdown very late, and Tampa Bay stays in the three spot ahead of us. So that's a quick recap around the NFC and the NFC East. The football team will take on Seattle tonight. The Rangers were actually our lead story to start the show. This is fun. They're spending. Marcus Semien, 7 years, $175. John Gray from Colorado. Cole Calhoun, outfield depth. And they are not done. It's sounding like it's either going to be Corey Seager or Trevor Story to add to the Rangers spending to kick off the offseason.
Yeah. And we'll see if they can get either one of those guys. But when you add Semien, who is up, he's getting up there in age. You add him to 7 years, and it's not a ton of money. It's not like it's $35 million.
Yeah, Sandler called me yesterday. He's like, $25 million is not the same. It's not what you think it is in terms of paying through the roof.
No, you're not. It's not like Lindor. You know, Correa's going to get 34. You know, he wants that Lindor money. I don't know if he's going to get it. Actually, that's what he wants. You know, so you're looking at those big mega contracts. That's not what this is.
All right, let's tell you what you're getting in Semien. Moved to second base with Toronto last year. He did a prove it deal. All right, it's 1 year. I'm going to bet on myself. Had one of the best power seasons from a second baseman in major league history. Hit 45 bombs.
He's got power, man.
45 bombs. And he won a gold glove at second. He played every game for the second time in three seasons. He's missed just 10 games over the past 4 years, so he's durable. Now he's 31, so that's an issue. Led the majors with 86 extra base hits. Finished second in the AL in Baseball Reference WAR behind Ohtani, third in Fangraphs WAR, third in the MVP. The only player with two top three MVP finishes in the past three seasons. And he went and got Scott Boras. He said, this is my time.
The great Satan.
I'm going to go ahead and get Scott Boras, and bam, cashes it in for $175.
Yeah, he got his money. And you know, the Rangers, this is probably something they had to do. They had to overpay.
Yes.
Either in money or years. And this was probably in years, not money. I don't know how many people were lining up to give Semien 7 years. I don't know how many people were lined up to give John Gray, you know, 4 for 56. But that's what kind of what they had to do. They had to do this.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cowboys right back to business. It's another Thursday game. It's going down against the New Orleans Saints right here on DFW Sports Station. Sean and RJ back with you. Hopefully you had a fantastic break. It's a special Monday appearance from the head coach of America's team, Mike McCarthy, on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Coach. How are you doing right now?
Doing well. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing pretty well. Were you able to get a little bit of a break, even though it was a tough game on Thursday? Were you able to enjoy Thanksgiving with the family?
Really had a chance to enjoy a little bit Friday night. By the time we got home, it was close to 10 o'clock. It was great to have family in town. And, you know, it's always got to keep things in perspective and obviously very blessed and very thankful for everything in my life, especially my family.
Coach, give us your overall assessment of some of these recent struggles in losing 3 of 4. We have a referee issue. We have COVID. You got concussions. There's a bunch of different things. Kind of what's your assessment of the way you guys have been playing here over these last 4 games?
Well, I just think it's a reminder of the weekly challenges of the NFL. I mean, this is the state of the NFL with the challenges of COVID, and you know that's obviously exists in our society, but this is all part of it. I mean, to get to where you want to go, you have to overcome these challenges each and every week. You know, every football team you line up and compete against, regardless of the billing of it, is capable of winning the game. So winning is always difficult in this league, and I think it's important that when you do win, and when we get back to winning, you just got to make sure you keep things in perspective and continue to work on the little things. So you can go through a number of things in our play that we'll always be working to do better, and we got to get back to playing complementary football and the penalties are we got to take care of our part of it. We got to focus on that and just continue to work at the fundamentals.
What's the message to the team in a stretch like this? It's obviously it's not nobody's quitting or anything. It's 7-4. It's still a good record. Still on top of the division. But what is the message to the team to keep everybody kind of in line and up, you know, upbeat?
Well, I think the most important thing is kind of build off of what I just, the last answer is perspective and stay on, stay in tune with the things that we need to improve on. We can only control, the things that we're capable. We can't control the officiating. We can't, we can, do the best we can with the COVID challenge and take all the precautions. I think our, I think our players are actually have done an extra job, excellent job going to, taking the extra step. I mean, personally, I've moved in a hotel the last couple of days. So we're, our climate here is, we're doing the things necessary to give us the best chance each and every week. And I'm confident, I have strong belief, as long as we continue to do that, that we'll get to where we want to go.
Coach, what is the status right now of your COVID availability in terms of players or coaches out for Thursday?
Well, we're 100% negative yesterday, so we're hoping for the same goal today, and so nothing's changed since yesterday's report.
And Steele will be out.
Correct. Terrence is the one player that's out.
Coach, can you just take us inside the thinking, whatever you can tell us, on the reshuffling of the offensive line? Many were like taken aback on Thursday to see Steele starting and then rotating the offensive lineman, kind of an unusual move when we know how much you believe in continuity. Can you just take us behind that thought process of what's going on up front?
Well, the five starters, the lineup was set at the beginning of the week, and then frankly, just with Connor and LC, we wanted to make sure we're keeping those two involved. So, the opportunity to give them a series, and we have different packages and things in the game that we necessarily didn't get to, but it's keeping all those guys involved, and the lineup was set based off of the performance and the competition, and frankly, I think it's a healthy spot to be in.
Mike McCarthy here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. We know he's a warrior. We know he's never going to complain. How banged up, how compromised has Zeke been in these past couple of weeks going through what he's been dealing with injury-wise?
I think just point to his running style. I mean, he's always dishing out, a ton of beatings on the other side of it, but, also – he is beat up a little bit. We had kind of a jog through type practice yesterday, but he looked good. Just anxious to see how he moves today.
What's the plan for CD moving forward? Is he good to go?
Yeah, CD practiced full yesterday, so he'll be in a full capacity today, and then we get Amari Cooper back today too. So we'll see where Amari is.
Coach, how difficult is it to get a? I know there's no excuses game to game, but to get a grasp of what you guys are when you've been missing your two DNs and then you're missing your starting receivers. When you say, hey, are we a legit contender like everyone had us being, or are we a team that needs everyone in order to overcome injuries and COVID and things that happened during the year? Like your assessment of your football team, does it create doubt, or it's just something that everyone has to deal with?
Yeah, I mean my focus is different than that. Of your question, I think the most important thing is just to keep your eye on the ball and focus on where we are each and every week. I mean, it's every team is presented a little differently each week. I mean, it's you're into that point of the season in November, December, and the health of your football team is always a priority, and it just decides which way you're going to attack the game and obviously the matchups on the other side. So I think this is just all part of the challenge. I mean, it's obviously, we want to win as many games as possible to take care of the first part, and that's, to get into the tournament. But, you have to keep your eye on the target. I mean, we're about winning the eighth game, and that's really all that matters. And ever who we line up with and how we do it is, that's what the week of preparation's for. And, we're still watching the Saints and seeing who's coming back and who isn't. So, I mean, you just got more moving parts this year because of COVID.
Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Coach, the officials in this game, that was obviously a huge talking point for everybody over the weekend. When you go into a game knowing that the officials call, a lot of penalties, especially in the secondary, do you change how you play the game? I don't say play the game, but your level of aggressiveness?
Well, it's an awareness. That's part of it. I mean, every you know, every unit out there, you know, the offense, defense, special teams, the officials, the coaches, you know, there's tendencies. And, you know, that's why you put the time into the scouting, you know, both of what you do and what you expect them to do. And, the numbers of the officiating crew, it's a crew that we had in the first game at Tampa. So, we had a idea of how they, you know, how they'd like to call it. And, you know, and that, you know, that held true, you know, to a little stronger, you know, number, obviously, on Thanksgiving. So it's part of the game. I mean, you coach it, your awareness of it, and so forth. But, you know, you don't want to take away from the energy of your football team, but you just got to continue to work on the discipline of playing out there on the edge. And so and that's what we're focused on.
Do you think the secondary is sometimes too aggressive in general?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can ever be too aggressive. You just want to be disciplined in your aggression. You know, so that's our focus.
Coach, have you found, like, during the course of the year that a heavily penalized team can actually change at the midway point? Can you actually change your stripes on whether you are heavy penalized to really back off of that, or you are what you are in terms of the players?
I've been in this spot before. I think it's a matter of, you know, A, getting your team to play to a standard of a play style. That's always an adjustment. It's every team's new. Every team's has a little bit different than the last team, or a team coming off of a different coaching staff. So, you know, I felt like we were able to establish that pretty early in the season. The biggest challenge, like anything, is when you do have success, is to maintaining success. In my experience, has always been the biggest challenge in this league. So, we established a standard. We just got to play with more discipline, you know, playing out there on the edge with our aggressiveness, because, you know, we will not go backwards on the aggressiveness.
Coach, New Orleans has been struggling here as of late, 5-6. They've lost 4 straight. What have you seen from the Saints on tape this year?
Well, I think they're doing an excellent job schematically, offensively, challenging you, so, you know, using all their pieces, and, you know, and the fact that they still have some moving parts coming back this week is, you know, it's part of the challenge. So, you know, we'll be definitely schematically challenged, you know, as far as the tempo, the pace of operation, the different personnel groups. So, you know, that's what we're focused on. Defense, I've been very impressed with their defense. Their defensive front, probably, you know, you can make an argument that it'll be the best front that we play all year, and their secondary is scrappy. I mean, they get, you know, it's an aggressive bunch. They bring it every down, and they try to challenge your schemes, you know, jump your concepts. So, this will be an excellent challenge for our offense.
How tough is it to prepare for a guy like Kamara? We know he's been out, but he's one of these moving pieces that they seem to just rely on over the years. What type of player is Alvin Kamara, and how tough is it to game plan against that?
He's dynamic. There's no doubt about it. And I think he's doing an excellent job moving around and, you know, creating all those potential, you know, matchup situations. So, you know, running style, you know, is exceptional, but, yeah, you know, what he can do out of the backfield too is top notch. So obviously a big focal point for us.
Any special tricks for playing at that place? We know that playing at Arrowhead with the noise was a big talking point. How about playing at that building in prime time?
Definitely no. This will be loud, you know, especially a night game down there. You know, I've had some experience coaching there. This is, you know, be very similar to Minnesota, which I thought our guys did a nice job handling that, but it's. You definitely got to get settled in the game as quickly as possible in these type of environments.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. Best of luck on Thursday.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
Mike McCarthy here on Sean and RJ every week on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And this is, you know, this is the challenge of
– tough stretch.
It's tough stretch, and you're trying to evaluate what you are as well. Now, McCarthy isn't. They're not sitting back in the room, I don't think, saying, all right, where are we versus the Rams? Where are we against Tampa? Where are we against Arizona? But we are, with our job, what are the Cowboys right now, and trying to figure it out with all the missing pieces. You know, how much of a pass do they get? That's the question. How much of a pass do you give them with no CD, no Amari, no Randy, no Tank? There's a 4 really good players.
They are. You know, they already have a replacement for CD, for Randy and Tank in Micah. They just refuse to use them like that. And listen, you got 210 yards out of Gallup and Wilson. Like, that's you replaced CD and Amari in this game.
Yeah. Well, but even that's tricky. So I went into this game and I was like, okay, giving you a pass, you know, against Kansas City, elements and injuries. But, you know, going up against the Raiders here, I need Dak. I need him to give me, you know, 24. You got to score at least 24. And it took until the end for it to really get going. They had 20 through three quarters, and the Cowboys have had some slow starts as well.
Yeah, 20 through three quarters is fine.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like anything was humming. You know what I mean?
No, nothing was necessarily humming. I think the pace of the game was screwed up because there were so many flags. So the flow of the game sucked. But, I mean, when you score, you know, 33 points, you know, I don't care who you have. Like, that's good. That's tremendous.
But it's concerning, though, that a lot of this had to come. They were never in control of the game. Ever.
No, they weren't.
And that's a little bit concerning with a team that you feel like with one good shot could be knocked out with everything the Raiders have been dealing with. And obviously, yes, the officials and the refs, but this team doesn't feel capable right now of, like, do you think they're going to go into New Orleans and dominate on Thursday? They could. But right now, it doesn't feel like that. And again, weighing that versus the ebbs and flows of an NFL season. Kavanaugh tweeted it yesterday. Who are the good teams? Right now, it feels like in the conference, it's Green Bay, Arizona. Arizona's been doing this without their quarterback and best receiver as well. Their Hall of Fame receiver that's going to Canton. So it is the NFL. I'm not trying to make excuses for them. They're not playing well, but it is just wide open. Even in the AFC, I mean, Is it the Chiefs and New England and everyone else?
Yeah.
Where's Tennessee? Where's Buffalo? I mean, this whole thing is wide open. My disappointment is that I thought the Cowboys could take control and not just run away with the NFC East, but you know, make a case to run away with a top two seed. They haven't done it. That opportunity for now has been lost. So that's been my recent disappointment with them. Even though they've been missing a lot of help.
Well, look, and also
their left tackle early in the year as well.
And be fair, like, Dak has not played great in three of the last four games. He's not. You know, even his numbers in this game looked good. He was not that good in this game. He was a little bit off.
Yeah.
And you know, you're seeing the same thing with the Rams right now. You know, Stafford's not playing well. They're losing three games in a row.
Yep.
It's a shocker. And you know, obviously McVay will find a way to scapegoat him. But in this, I mean, you know, Dak hasn't played tremendous football. He just hasn't. It's okay. He was okay, but, you know, he was not the better quarterback in the game that on Thursday. Derek Carr outplayed him. And Dak was, you know, he is the straw. There is, when the Cowboys have receivers missing, he's the reason that the other guys step up. You know, he's part of the reason. And they did step up. They did. They, you know, Wilson and Gallup had, you know, pretty good games, really good games. But for the rest of the day, you know, Dak was just kind of so-so.
Took really late to get it all going. Yeah. Dak was throwing dimes at the end.
Yes, he was.
But early on, you were just waiting, like, okay, you're always playing from behind. You know, they were playing uphill versus downhill. How about Mike McCarthy just then talking about complimentary football, getting back to that, and the penalties. This is the most penalized team in the NFL. And can that actually change? Can that actually, you know, the Raiders used to be the most penalized team every single year, and they would stay like the most penalized team. And then what's going on up front? What did y'all take from that? He did throw in the word performance. And maybe we just assumed that Lael Collins was a little bit better than he actually is. I know I've made that assumption. I was like, if everyone's healthy and Tyron is a, you know, 9 or 8.5 out of 10, Lael's like, he's like a 7.5. He's that high up there. But then to start, steal, and rotate and rotate within the game, that's weird. I don't care what Mike says about it. He knows it's weird.
It's definitely weird. I didn't understand the whole situation. Like, you know, Lael Collins,
like, is that was that to appease Lael? Is that to keep him, like, what, emotionally?
Keep his headspace there, yeah.
You know, like, hey, we're just going to rotate this. You're still going to play. Because now Lael this week may be thinking, with Terrence Steele out on the COVID list, oh, okay, now I'm a starter back. It's actually the worst time for Terrence Steele to go on the COVID list because now you have to go back to the guy you just benched. And they did just bench him.
They did. And you know, and it doesn't make, to me, it doesn't make sense. You know, did you bench him because he had a bad game against Kansas City? Like, is that why? That's weird, man. Like, do you bench it? Are you going to bench a player just after a bad game now? Man, I don't know. I don't know how they do that.
All right, 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing Fantex here on Sean and RJ. We're obviously going to go around the rest of the NFL, but the college football mega story. Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma. How much Lincoln Riley guilt / blame is there? There was a reporter yesterday, and this is one of the ugly things about college football. I think it's probably unavoidable, but it's out there. This is from, Parker Thune, 24/7 Sports. This is what he tweeted, and it blew up. Lincoln Riley looked a lot of recruits in the eye this past year and told them he wasn't going anywhere, that he was the Sooners head coach for the long haul. Those kids that took him at his word are hurting today. Some I spoke with were in tears. This sucks for most of them. By the way, four kids have bailed.
Yeah.
See ya. The number three recruit in the entire country. They lost a five-star quarterback, and they lost three others who said, thanks, but no thanks. Lincoln's out. He recruited me. I'm not going to Norman.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You know, kids don't usually pick a school. They pick a coach to play for. And that's how it happens. This was a stunner. It was a huge move. Like, this is a earth-shaking college football move. You are going from the place that nobody leaves. Nobody leaves Norman. Like, it's a great job. There's no pressure. For a powerhouse program, there's no pressure at Norman. It's fantastic. I mean, like, you'd be stupid to not want that job. And he's going to go to L.A. to go be the coach at USC, which has been historically one of the two or three best jobs in the country.
What a get for the Trojans.
Huge get.
But it
is completely fallen flat because they have not shown a commitment to winning. Ask Sandler, who's an SC guy. Like, their facilities are not great. They just don't see it. It's in L.A. It's an on-campus, semi-on-campus, like, facility, but it's like an old facility they have. Like, their stadium kind of stinks. It's really, really weird. Like, it's a great, great job that has just completely fallen off. And maybe Lincoln sees this as an opportunity to resurrect a program that has been the 46th winningest program since 2017. USC is not the 46th best program in the country. They're far better than that. But that's what they've been over the last 4 or 5 years.
And, of course, all this happened after an amazing weekend of college football capped off by this one at night.
Snap, knee, ball game. Oh, baby, what a night! Oh, baby, what a night! Final score, Oklahoma State 37, Oklahoma 33.
Oak State Radio with the call with Dez Bryant on the sidelines as Oak State wins this one. What a day. We're going to get into it with headlines. RJ with the college football kegger today. Not tomorrow, because we're adjusting our week with the Cowboys playing on Thursday. So college football kegger at 7:40 this morning. And now where does Oklahoma go from here? Bob Stoops has stepped in to coach the bowl game. So he's stepping in to coach the Sooners. And then Mac Angle, who's been crushing it in a reporter role, our boy from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram tweeted this. Keep a close eye. Oklahoma is interested in Sonny Dykes. He's interested in them. Sonny is scheduled to be introduced tomorrow as the TCU head coach. And then on top of it, Adam Schefter, Tolos, were checking the blue mark to make sure this was legit. It was. Schefter tweets, Oklahoma has targeted Cliff Kingsbury as one of the potential replacements. Kingsbury has 1 year remaining on his contract after this season. This after the internet found the following people following Lincoln Riley, LSU head basketball coach Will Wade, LSU's head baseball coach, Tigers starting tight end and wide receiver, Tigers five-star quarterback, LSU five-star linebacker recruit, Orgeron's not coaching their bowl game. All these LSU people started following Lincoln. Yeah. Boom. California.
I don't know why Kingsbury, why they would want him. Like, the guy has a losing record in college or barely above 500. He's already shown in college. Like, he's an NFL guy, it seems like. Now,
Lubbock versus Norman, you might have a different talent pool.
You do, but everybody, like, literally everybody wins at Lubbock, at Tech. Everybody wins 8 games a year, 9 games. Like, that just that school, just that great or not, they're going to win 7 to 8 games a year. Except when Kingsbury was there, or even better than that. Oklahoma's in a tricky spot. If I'm Oklahoma, I'm not excited about Dykes. I'm thinking I want a big name. Not that Dykes isn't a big name, but he's
not a star.
He's not a star. He's not like, you know, even Bill, you know, Florida just got Billy Napier. Billy Napier is the hot name in college football. He's the guy. You know, Florida got him. He said no to everybody. And he finally said, I'll go to Florida.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.